Yes, amen. So, Revelation chapter 12, and we're still going to see the beast, but I want to show you the beast in relationship to the church, okay? We read some verses in Daniel, how the beast is going to actually succeed in destroying the, quote, church, unquote. Okay, but I want you to see here, this is old to some of you, it's new to some of you, okay? We need to understand what is the church and what effect will this beast system have on the church. Now, last week we went to a lot of detail about things that are happening in the world that indicate the stronghold of the beast coming into the lives of human beings. And this is not just going to affect Christians, but it will affect the world as well. But Satan has a particular hatred for Christian believers, baby Christian believers, but in particular, mature Christian believers. Now, let me just start off here by reading the first two verses of Revelation 12. It said, "And there appeared a great wonder in heaven, a woman clothed with the sun, and the moon under her feet, and upon her head a crown of 12 stars. And she, being with child, cried, travailing in birth, and pained to be delivered." Okay, now, what we have here is a picture of, it says, there appeared a wonder in heaven. Now, we need to understand the term heaven, okay? Because the Bible, especially the book of Revelation, is a spiritual book. And if you want to try to take everything in the book and say that it's all natural things, I don't know how you can have a natural heaven, but there's people that have in their mind a natural heaven, okay? Their heaven is a place where there's a street, it's paved with gold, okay? It's, in other words, this kind of gold, the kind of gold that makes your ring, and a little river flowing down, and they can jump in and take a bath and whatever. This is all spiritual language, okay? And this natural heaven idea is so strong that I have heard people, and in books, there's lots of nice books about people that had a visit to heaven, and they're nice, interesting books. They're very entertaining, and sometimes I wonder, where did they go? What heaven did they go to? And I remember hearing this woman. Remember, we went over there to the seat of Abraham one time, and there was this woman that had a visit to heaven. Didn't you guys go over with us that time? Yeah, and we were listening, and she had a visit to heaven, and the Lord showed her her mansion, you know. And she was ordering her furniture, you know, that Nichols and Stone or Ethan Allen or something. I mean, she was going to have the finest furniture, and she was going to put wallpaper on the walls, you know. And well, they said, it isn't quite finished yet. You have to wait a little bit. We're still working on it, and you come back later. This is a natural heaven, brethren. That's not the heaven that we're talking about. I don't know what you're going to see. I don't know what kind of visions you're going to have, but it's not going to be a natural place. Amen? I said this many years ago, and when I finished, a lady came up here and she put her fist down on this thing and she said, "Brother Mark, you've destroyed my hope. You've said there's no heaven." I said, "Sister, I did not say that. There is a heaven, but you've taken away my streets of gold or whatever. I don't know." I said, "Sister, what you're going to have is far better, and it's more real than anything you have ever imagined about this heaven." Okay? So when we talk about heaven, we are talking about a spiritual place. not a natural place. So there was a spiritual scene that John saw. This is so clear. John says in the beginning, he said, I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day, and I saw this. And when we get through into the beginning of the fourth chapter, he says again, I was in the Spirit, and the angel showed me this, and the Lord showed me that. He was in the Spirit while he was sitting in the Isle of Patmos prisoner? No, what was... He was actually island confinement. He couldn't leave the island. Okay? Apparently he did have some liberty. All right, so... He saw a wonder in heaven, and he saw a woman clothed with the sun. All right, let us define spiritually again, what is a woman spiritually? Church. A woman is always church. Amen? A woman is bride of Christ. A good woman is a married woman, a widow, a bride. Woman is also a bad thing. There's a bad kind of church, and she's called a harlot. All right, she's Babylon. She's Babylon. She's not a good woman. Okay, she's an unfaithful woman. So this woman is not a bad woman. She's a faithful woman. She's got a crown of 12 stars on her head. A crown of 12. Amen. This is a spiritual number. It isn't 11, it isn't 13, it isn't just a random number. It is 12. And 12 means what? Divine order of government. She's, you know, the 12 tribes of Israel, the 12 apostles, amen, the 12 gates of the city, divine order of government, amen. It's going to be governed under the righteousness of God, amen. This woman is good. She's a good woman, amen. Nothing wrong with this woman. And let's look. There's three churches here. All right. How many of you believe that there are three churches? Three realms of church. Remember the tabernacle. There are three sections of the tabernacle. There's the outer court tabernacle. Do I need to draw a tabernacle up here? Let's do it so you can see it again. Here's a tabernacle. The tabernacle of Moses. We'll do it in green. Okay? I'll just close these off. This is not to scale, okay? This is the outer court. This is the holy place. And this is the Holy of Holies. Now, these are three churches. There's an outer court church. There's a holy place church. And there's a Holy of Holies church. Now, I don't know anybody yet in this church, okay? I don't know anybody yet that is this... Oh my, he looks awful. Doesn't have a body. Well, he's a fetus, so you can't tell. I don't know anybody yet that is living in this place. But I know that Jesus walked in this place. Amen? Jesus walked for 3.5 years... in the Holy of Holies. He said, I don't do anything except I see the Lord do it. I don't say anything except I hear the Lord say it. We're not quite there yet, are we? Oh, unless I hear the Father say it. Yeah, I'm sorry, Rita. Yeah, thank you for catching that little misslip there. All right, so we have a woman. We have a woman church here. Oh, Brother Meyer, prove to me that woman is church. Everywhere in the Bible. You can look at Ruth. She was an example of a bride of Christ. She came to the feet of Boaz. Boaz was a type of Christ. Where is the church supposed to be at this point? At the feet of Jesus Christ. Amen? And he said, I will do the right thing for you. I'm going to make you a wife. And of course, Ruth brought forth a man child, didn't she? Amen. She brought forth only one that we know of. Amen. We can look at Hannah, another woman, brought forth a prophet, Samuel, a man-child. Even as a little boy, he began to hear the voice of God. Amen. The Lord spoke to him in the night. So we have a woman. Now, it says here, she's clothed with a son. My goodness, we have to put the son here. So she's got glory around her. The son is what? Son is a picture of what? Picture of God. God the Father. She's clothed with righteousness. Amen. This is a good church. Okay, I have no problem with this church. Now, it says she's under her feet is what? Under her feet is a moon. Okay? This is also a woman. This is also a woman. Well, tell me, Brother Mark, how do you interpret that? How is the sun the father and the moon the mother? You can help me out here.
Joseph's dream.
Joseph had a dream that the moon and the sun and 12 stars, which were the brethren, were all gathered around. He was one of the 12, and they all made obeisance to him. And of course, his first one was that the sheaves of grain were all bowing, which was just his brethren. But this one now included the moon and the sun. And Jacob interpreted the dream. He said, "Oh, your mother and I too? We're going to be involved in this?" So he knew the moon was the mother and the sun was the father. So the moon is a church. But he doesn't say the moon is clothed with the sun. He doesn't say that the moon has the crown of 12 stars around her. No, the moon is a different church. Where do we have the moon? We have the moon church right here. We have the moon church. We have the woman church. And within her is what? She's travailing in birth to bring forth a man-child. Okay? So the man-child is another church, but it has not yet been born. Now, this is all prophetic. This is all, as of the time of John's writing, this is all future event. You go to some people and they say, "Well, this is a picture of Mary, and Mary is going to bring forth Jesus, and Jesus is going to rule the world," of course. Yes, that is a picture, but that is not what this is talking about. That's a past tense thing. When John wrote this, Jesus had been born long ago. Jesus had resurrected. He'd gone to heaven. Yes, heaven, real heaven. Amen. Spiritual heaven. And this was not a thing like that. You know, I'm so amazed. Some of the things where did I read somewhere? Somebody said that this was a picture. Some cardinal or something long ago interpreted this and said, "Well, this is the Catholic Church." My goodness. Brother, read the rest of the chapters of Revelation. You're going to find the Catholic Church is the harlot system. It cannot be this woman. But of course, they believe that their church is clothed in the righteousness of God and everything else like that, and that they're going to rule the world. All right. So she's all right. Here's her position now. There's three churches here, and there appeared another wonder in heaven. All right. Remember, this is heaven means a spiritual place. Heaven, in this case, does not mean... Heaven can mean the throne of God, too, by the way. There's actually three definitions of heaven in the New Testament. One definition is the heavens, which is just the natural stars and, you know, the moon and the clouds and that type of thing. That's the heavens. A natural realm of heavens. All right. spiritual realm of heavens is a spiritual place where we are living now. Fullness of heaven, the throne of God. And by the way, when you get into the real full heaven, you find there's three layers of heaven there too. I looked it up one time. Do you know that there is a realm of heaven where angels and saints and what have you, the highest realm, it says the unapproachable light. There's a realm up there where angels don't even dare to tread. Only God, only the powerful, awesome purity of God, unless He opens it up and lets you in.
Hallelujah. And the throne room.
Oh, it says unapproachable. Where was it, in Psalms that calls it that?
Hallelujah, hallelujah.
The unapproachable light.
Hallelujah.
You know, this. Let me tell you something. This powerful purity of God. We think, oh, sweet Jesus and all that. We're always going to have sweet Jesus. I tell you what, He is so powerful that if He doesn't dim His brightness, you'd never get a thing from Him.
Cool.
I remember years ago we had come to church. I think we were still in the Ramada in those days. And we were renting at the Ramada Inn in those days. I remember that time we went home. We were living in Balsam Spa. I remember it quite clearly. And somehow I felt that we haven't had enough. Well, the meeting was over. We've gone home and everything else. So I went down. We had this little fireplace thing there. We went down. Isn't it funny? I'm always praying in front of the fireplace. Probably because it's always winter. It's the warmest place in the house. And I'm not always on my knees to pray. I'm mostly on my knees to put wood in the thing. But while I'm on my knees, it seems the Lord takes this opportunity to start talking to us. And I was aware, we began to pray on purpose, not just because we were putting wood in the fire. We began to pray, and I saw the light coming spiritually. I saw a heavenly light coming. And all of a sudden I stopped him and I said, wait, you can't come like that. You're going to destroy me. The light is too strong. I want to hear from you. We want to hear from you. But what am I going to do? If you come like this, you're just going to burn me right up. And what he did is he subdued the light. And then he came in and it didn't blind me or do anything like that to me. And then he began to speak to us. And he had a word for us about the fellowship. He had a word about our kids and everything else like that. And by the way, the word that he brought about our kids has still not been fulfilled in fullness. He said, I know how to save your children. It hasn't all been completely fulfilled yet. He said, I know. Since you know, Lord, I'm going to leave it up into your hands. Will take the burden off of me. You said you know, it's yours. We need to do that with our troubles.
It's a word for all of us.
It is. I know how to save your children. Fine. Then please save them. And do whatever you have to do to save them. If arresting them and sending them to prison for a little while, if that's going to save them, keep your hands off. Let God do it. Right? Whatever it takes. So, we're talking about this woman. And it says, and there appeared another wonder in heaven. Behold, a great red dragon, having seven heads and ten horns and seven crowns upon his head. Who is this? Who is this great red dragon? Well, first of all, it's Satan. And secondly, it's Satan and his world system. Now you say, well, this is in heaven? I thought Satan got thrown out of heaven. Do you see why you can't interpret this in the natural realm? Jesus said, remember when the disciples were rejoicing that they had the power to cast out demons? He said, I saw Satan fall like lightning. Now there was a realm of heaven, a realm where the greatest angels, Satan, his former name was Heliel. He was one of the three most powerful angels of heaven. He was one of three known archangels. Now there may have been more, there may have been 12. But the Bible only mentions the names of three of them. Remember who the names of them are?
Michael,
Gabriel, and Heliel. Okay? Michael means what? Like the Lord. Gabriel means what?
He's a messenger.
Messenger of the Lord. And Heliel was the song leader of the whole heavenly congregation. Is it any wonder that the music of this world is so filthy corrupted? It has nothing to do with praise of God. And even the songs that these outer court churches are bringing in from their rock stars that have supposedly got saved, but they're bringing the same music, just change the words a little bit. Jesus will save your soul, you know. I mean, I've heard this rap guy doing rap about Jesus. What is that to do with praising God? See, this is Satan's corrupted influence. Heliel is
not being religious.
No, Satan loves religion. And the whole outer court and harlot church system, it's all religion. And Satan is involved. Brother Sess used to say Satan discovered he couldn't beat the church, so he joined the church.
Wow.
He signed up, he became a member. All right, so Satan is before this woman, there appeared a great red dragon having 7 heads, 10 horns, 7 crowns. But let's see what heads, horns, crowns, right? Heads, horns, crowns. All right, what do these mean? What are heads? Heads are nations. Nations, horns are men. You can call them kings, presidents, dictators. I'll put kings, rulers. And crowns are what? They're titles. So, how many heads? Read it back to me again, Rita.
7 heads.
7 heads.
10 horns.
10 horns.
And 7 crowns.
And 7 crowns. So, there are 10 men, 7 nations, 7 titles. We can discuss this another time, but I just want you to know the influence of this thing. He's standing before this woman. He has something bad in mind, okay? And his tail drew the third part of the stars of heaven and did cast them to the earth. Let's stop right there. His tail drew the third part of the stars of heaven. Now, can this be a natural thing? How many stars are there believed to be out there in
trillions?
Trillions. Trillions. Boy, John, you're right up to date. Trillions. A third of them is still trillions. These cannot possibly fall on this earth. So let's start off with the original stars. When Satan fell from heaven, it is believed that he took about 1/3 of the angels of heaven with him. When Jesus said, "I beheld Satan fall like lightning," do you realize the power of God? God knew what was going on with Satan. And it says that he put up, in Isaiah, I think it is, it says he defiled his sanctuaries. What these sanctuaries mean is that they were places that he could have stopped that would have saved him, refuge places. And he saw him going in the wrong direction, and he put up stop signs in front of Satan. He saw rebellion beginning to take root in him, and he put up stop signs to slow him down, to stop him. And you know what Satan did? He just blew right through those stop signs. Hell-bent for rebellion. Yes, I mean literally hell-bent. And I lost my track here. I was talking about, a third of the angels. So he took a third of the stars of heaven in the original. But I believe, brethren, that this is also prophetic. I believe, how many of you know what stars really are? Bible. Okay, when David talks about the stars, yes, okay. But how many of you know what spiritual stars are? The stars of heaven shall fall. What? A natural star could not fall. What are those little things flying around, Cody, that you were learning about in your science class?
Things flying around.
No, these little things that, what are they? Asteroids? Or
comets
and asteroids. Do you know that if one of these things were to hit the Earth, what would happen?
It would destroy a lot of things.
It would destroy the Earth.
Science say that big asteroid hit the Earth, and that's how it wiped out all the dinosaurs.
That's their theory, you see. So, and an asteroid is not a star. It's just a little bitty piece of something, a little piece of rock flying around out there.
Shooting stars. I learned that they're just a ball of fire.
Yeah.
Up in space, it looks like a ball of fire.
Okay, so we got Cody's interest here now. A star cannot hit the Earth. It can't. God will not allow that. I don't care what you read about the things that are flying around out there that are going to hit here in the year 20-something or other. God will not allow. Stars are people. Cody could quote you all kinds of basketball stars, I'm sure. But don't do it now. No, we don't have time for it. We heard about a great football star that died in a helicopter crash here a couple weeks ago. Yes.
No, that's a basketball player.
Correction, basketball. Okay, and you know what they told on the radio today? How many they had? 300 seats available or something for his
memorial
or funeral, and they're selling them for how much?
A couple hundred dollars
each. This is not only a star, this is an idol. A dead idol. And this is a fallen star now in the natural. Now, spiritual fallen stars are sons of God. There are great men of God that are falling and have already fallen, and they're still preaching, but they've still fallen. They've fallen from their place in God. They've gone into another gospel. They've gone after another Jesus. They're preaching something that is not even in the Bible. They're preaching prosperity. They're preaching wealth. They're preaching have it, name it and claim it. They're preaching things that are contrary to the teachings of Jesus. They're fallen stars, brethren. So, Satan is taking fallen stars. It says by his tail. Remember what Tommy Cook used to tell us about? What is the tail ministry of Satan? He found it, I think, in Jeremiah. And if we had time, we could look it up. But the tail is the false prophet ministry. So the false prophet ministry is taking a lot of the sons of God, the would-be sons of God, the stars that should be sons of God, taking them down. And they're falling into carnal realm of thinking. Earth. Earth means carnal realm. They're going down to the natural thinking. They're going down to lusting for the things of this earth. Yes.
In Isaiah.
Isaiah. I'm sorry, it wasn't Jeremiah. Go ahead and read it, Larry.
The ancient and honorable, he is the head. And the prophet who teaches lies, he is the tail.
There you go. You see, the Bible interprets itself.
The Isaiah 9:15
in Isaiah. All right. So let's go down a little bit further. We define this dragon. We're going to get into this heads and horns and crowns some other time. This is a world system. This is a global economy. This is a global religion. This is a global political system. I'm not going to tell you exactly what all these 10 nations are. You know, everybody thought they knew when the EU first started. There's, oh, there are 10 of them. That's going to be it. What are there now? 17 or something? It's going to fit. When it's all finished, it's going to fit. It's going to be a perfect fit. We'll know who they are. Amen. All right, it says, and his tail drew the stars of heaven and did cast them to the earth, and the dragon stood before the woman, which was ready to be delivered for to devour her child as soon as it was born. Now, the funny thing is, this child that is in the womb of this woman church, it's not in the womb of the moon church. It's in the womb of the woman church. I believe this is your holy place church. I believe this is the church that I'm preaching to today. This is the holy place message. We are holy place believing people. We have left behind the outer court believing church. The outer court church is good. It's necessary for little children. It's necessary for new believers. The outer court message, we don't give it up. We had a man in our van that was driving, when we were driving down in Belize, the driver, he got suddenly born again. Yes, we believe in the born again message. We believe in bringing people into the gate, you know, bring them into salvation, bring them into the sacrifice of Jesus, bring them into baptism. Amen. Cody needs to be baptized, and Jeremy was telling me he got baptized. He got thoroughly baptized in prison. I guess you got baptized twice, right? So he's thoroughly baptized, we hope. Amen. So, yes, we believe in this. This is all outer court. But don't stay there. Don't live there. Don't put your camp out there and say, I'm not going any further, which is what many, many churches have done. So this is not a threat to Satan. He is not threatened by outer court. Remember the word that he gave Martin Klusen when he first began to listen to this message in Prague? It was Sess and us brethren, where we were there having a conference. And Martin was kind of new. I remember Martin when Jana and I were there. We lived in Prague for about most of the summer, you know. You remember that time. And I remember Martin and Christina, they weren't even married, just 18-year-old kids, came into the meeting. I remember so clearly, Martin burst in the door and Christina right behind him. They were kind of, you know, in love, you know, planning to be married. But her eyes, I'll never forget her eyes when she just... her eyes were just taking in. She was looking in the spirit. What is this that we're coming into? And he went for a little walk. There was a little break in this conference. And he went for a little walk in the woods, right near wherever. I don't know where this was. And he said he went in the walk and he met a man. A man stood in front of him. And he knew who that man was. The man was Satan, or one of his high angels. And this man said to him, he said, look, how did he say it? You've heard it.
I don't remember the exact words, but...
get us close.
I don't mind if you church and be religious, but if you follow what this man is saying in this word, I'm going to destroy you.
Yeah. He said, I don't mind if you want to be a church, religious, or even if you want to be a pastor. He said, but if you're going to follow the words that this man is preaching, I'm going to destroy you. I'm going to kill you. Well, he hasn't been able to do that. So you see, this is the added...
He's working on it.
He's not going to get it. This is how serious this message of sonship is. Satan hates it. He'll join the church, but he will not. He is not going to allow the man-child to be born. The sonship. Whatever word you want to give it. 144,000. Two witnesses. It all means the same thing. Satan is not going to want to allow this to happen. But it will happen. It is going to happen. It's prophesied. It's going to happen. There will be those who will be the sons of God. So, to devour that child as soon as it was born. And she brought forth a man child. Now, I said to you earlier, I said, woman always means church. Man does not mean church. Well, we have a reversal here. How do you explain that? How do you have a church now that's not... Why didn't they call it a woman child? Well, because you already have a woman. This is going to have to be something different. Okay? Why? What makes this one a man child? Maybe you can help me out here. Have you thought about this? You must have asked that question, Larry.
Yeah. It's... The man is the giver of life.
Okay.
The woman receives the life from the man.
So we have them both joined together here. Mm-hmm. What we have is a church that is joined to the true head. Well, you ask the churches, who is the head of the church? Well, Jesus Christ. Well, can I do thus and thus? Oh, got to ask Pastor. I went up to Alaska. You've heard this before. Went to the church that I was a member of. Yes, they signed me up, made a member of me. 5 years tithing, all the good things that you have to do to be a member. I mean, I laid block. Building their new building. I wasn't real good at it. Then I graduated to sheetrock. Wasn't good at that, but then I was putting insulation. I was pretty good at that. I did all that. So I went. I said, "Where's the authority that be here?" It's the assistant pastor. The pastor's gone. So I went. They were there on a Saturday having some little kind of a children's something or other. And I told them who I was. I said I was a member of this church for 5 years in the 1960s. I said, I have a word I'd like to share with your fellowship on Sunday. The pastor's not here. I'm going to be here. I said, well, would you be open to my... not without going through the district superintendent or some other superintendent of some sort. Who's the head of the church? If I say I have a word from Jesus Christ, if I'm thought to be a man in good standing, I mean, I wouldn't lie if I don't have a word from the Lord for you. But no, they wouldn't let me do it. Now, we go down to Belize, same church, Nazarene Church, down there, and we said to Brother Lee, he's going to a Nazarene church now. He left the one that he was in. There's a lot of conflict. So they're good people. They really are. They're good people. And so he asked the lady, who was a pastor. She said, sure, bring him in. And I brought a word, and this is the second time I brought a word now. She was there. And she said to me, I believe I understand what you're saying. It was kind of new to her. But she didn't reject it. The point is, you see, man, when man is in charge, I think that she was more open to, let's let the Lord be in charge here. It's a foreign country, see? They're probably a little more relaxed and let a missionary come in, you know, and give us a word, you know. So here's what makes up the man-child now. We have a church, and we have the true head. Jesus Christ is going to be at the head of this mighty army church. I saw that church in a vision way back in the 1980s. We came here in January of 1983, wasn't it?
Rebecca, yeah.
Rebecca's birth time. You were great with Rebecca, mm-hmm. but you weren't travailing that day.
In fact, it was her birthday yesterday.
Okay.
Just for that.
Yeah, you were pretty close.
Yeah.
Amen. And that threw me off the trail. I'm sorry. I'm going to get back to this. Oh, the vision. Yes, it was not long after that I saw this man-child. It was an army. I saw it. I had a vision. I was in, maybe it was a dream. I don't know, but it was so vivid, so clear. I wrote it up. It's written if you want it. I saw them lined up as far as you could see this way, as far as you could see this way. I saw another row behind them, as far, a third row, fourth row. My vision didn't go beyond about the fourth row. But I saw them standing there, and they were standing at perfect attention, like military men. And I'm thinking to myself, well, this is an army. Where's the general? Where's the chief? And in my vision, I expected to see a man standing out in front. Either he had his back to them and he was going to say, "Move forward, follow me," you know. But I didn't see him. Or I thought, well, he'll be facing them and he'll be giving them some instruction. No, he wasn't there. And I, in my dream, I said, "Where's the captain? Where's the man who's in charge?" And then I saw it. It was like this. Here's the men. Here, you know. As far as you could see. But above them, I saw the head. I didn't see it like that. And the shoulders. But everywhere I looked, if I looked way down here, the head was here. If I looked way down here, the head was here. It was clearly a spiritual picture. You can't do this in the natural. And so I said, in my thoughts, I said, how big? How big is this army? How far back does it go? Well, I don't know how far back it went or how deep it was, but then I saw the last three or four rows, and they were different than the front rows. They were shifting about. They were a little unsure of where they belonged. I saw one, and he said, "No, I think it's here I belong." In other words, they were finding their place. And they were kind of, the back three or four rows were all kind of shifting about like that, looking for a place. They wanted to be there for the most part. But then I saw one, and he looked about, and I saw him, he thought to himself, and I could see it come across his eyes. And he said, "I don't belong here." And he walked out. And then I saw one running from way back, and he had his hand out like this. He said, "No, don't go yet. No, I want to be part of this. Don't leave yet." And he was running, and then he came and he began to find his place. And then I looked again at the master, and his face was just he was just stern. And I'm asking him by the Spirit, I'm saying, "When is this army going to move?" And the word that I got, it was a spiritual word that I got, is when you are in your place and when you're ready, then I'll give the command. And this army is going to move and nothing is going to stop it. But like children, get in your place and get ready and settle down. That was the message, basically. So I saw the man child that was to be birthed. It hasn't been birthed yet, by the way. But it's in the formation process. And it's in the woman church. See, we're this woman church. Why are we travailing? Because we've got something in us that is trying to come forth. There's something within this church that wants to be birthed. Not just this little fellowship here in Schenectady. It includes Iowa, Illinois, Texas, Virginia, wherever. There's people like this. Amen? I want to find that body of Christ. I want to know that body of Christ. Amen? So, boy, we got a lot of... We're going to have to do Revelation 12 for several more days. Anyway, she brought forth a man-child who was to rule all nations with a rod of iron, and her child was caught up unto God and to His throne. Now, this child is to rule all nations. Oh, well, that's Jesus Christ. It has to be Jesus Christ. Well, yes, it is, if Jesus Christ is really the head of this child. Because Jesus Christ, God, has the power. He could do anything in this world He wanted to. He doesn't need us. Why is He waiting for us? Because He's that kind of God. He said, I want to share the throne with men. I want to train men. I want them to learn to be like Me. And then I will give them power and they will rule the nations. Now let me give you three other verses here in Revelation about ruling the nations. Revelation 2:27. Just go back there. It's one of the churches. It is the church of Thyatira. Okay? He said, and he shall rule. Oh, verse 26. And he that overcometh and keepeth My words unto the end, to him will I give power over the nations. Power is authority. Authority over the nations. Come on. All that wickedness going on in America. I was going to start with China. Yeah, America first. China, Russia, Europe, wherever. Authority. Amen. And they shall rule them with a rod of iron, as the vessels of a potter shall they be broken to shivers, even as I received of My Father. Jesus is saying this to a church, people, humans. So you say, well, is this just Jesus, or is this a church? Well, it's also Jesus. I'll take you to another verse in Revelation chapter 19, verse 15. Go to 19:15. And it's a description of Jesus Himself. And here He comes riding a white horse, and heaven was open, and behold, a white horse, verse 11. And He that sat upon Him was called Faithful and True, and in righteousness He doth judge and make war. How are we going to rule? In righteousness. Not by making laws, not by sending cops out, not by making an army, but rule in righteousness. When righteousness prevails, it will take over all the nations. But righteousness has to prevail in me first. When righteousness prevails in us, then it can take over. Hallelujah. You'd be surprised how it's going to happen. It's not going to happen the way we think things are going to happen. His eyes were like a flame of fire, and on His head were many crowns, and He had a name written that no man knew but He Himself. There's a mystery about the mighty power of God that only He knows. We cannot probe. There's certain things we aren't going to probe into. And He was clothed in a vesture dipped in blood. Oh my goodness. And His name was called the Word of God. Well, I thought there was a name we couldn't know. Yeah, well, there's another name that we know, and it's called the Word of God. Amen? And His armies, plural, notice this, His armies, which were in heaven, followed Him upon white horses, clothed in linen, fine linen, white and clean. Armies, plural. What? Heavenly army and earthly army. Angels, saints that are in heaven, people living on the earth. are part of armies, plural. If it was just a heavenly army, it wouldn't be plural. Listen, God does not make mistakes when He writes. This is why you need to rely on this King James Bible. You get to these other Bibles, they have other words there that mean different things, and you cannot interpret what God is saying to you. Throw those other Bibles away. Amen. And out of His mouth goes a sharp sword. What is the sword of from His mouth? It's His Word. When God says something, it's going to happen. He has the power of His Word. Amen? If He says the earth is going to bring forth thorns and thistles and briars, it's going to bring forth. If He says end, it's going to stop. It's going to stop. If He tells the deer to run away from men, deer are going to run away from men. If He tells the deer it's okay, you can run to men, deer will come to men. I think the Lord told chickadees one day that they could come land on my hand and eat the seeds out of my hand. I thought, isn't this wonderful? Wouldn't I love to have a whole creation like this? No, the Lord said to Noah, the animals are going to have a fear of you. So until God reverses that, it's the word of His mouth, see? With a sharp sword, that he should smite the nations. See, that sword, that mouth is going to smite these evil nations. Amen. And he shall rule them with a rod of iron, and he treadeth the winepress of the fierceness and wrath of Almighty God. Oh, my goodness. So, yes, rule the nations is this man-child, which is also Christ the head, and it comes forth from a woman, the church. And you say, well, that's similar to Jesus coming forth out of Mary, and he should rule the nations. But this is another level. That was natural. Now we're coming up to a spiritual level. No, Revelation is future. It's not past. When John wrote it, it was all future. Future tense. Okay? And the woman... her child was caught up to the throne of God and... caught up unto God and to His throne. Now, you say, oh, that's a picture of rapture. He got raptured. He got taken off to the clouds. He's eating dinner up there on the clouds somewhere. So that's the good people. No. Caught up to the throne of God. By the way, the term caught up does not mean necessarily a physical translation. I'll use translation. It does not mean that you are physically taken somewhere. There's three places that's used. One is here. One is in Thessalonians that says we will be caught up to meet the Lord in the air. And the other is Paul said, some years ago, he said, I was caught up to the third heaven. Paul did not leave the earth. His natural body did not leave the earth. He was caught up. See, he said third heaven. Notice he said third heaven. So we know there's more than one heaven. And he said, I heard things in that third heaven that are not lawful for me to utter. I think there's times when the Lord takes us into spiritual places that he shows us things that are not lawful to utter. And the way he dealt with me is he just wiped it out of my memory. I had only enough memory to know that there was something there that I heard, but he would not allow me to know the details of it anymore. He gave me only enough for a testimony, and the rest he just zapped it off. All right, so it was caught up to the throne means this man-child is caught up to a place of authority in God, a place of authority, and given authority. Oh my goodness. Times are flying here. Now, I want to go on a little bit more yet. We want to see what happened to the woman. And the woman fled into the wilderness, where she hath a place prepared of God, that they should feed her there 1,260 and 80 days. How much is 1,203? 80 is what? 60? When you add this up, how long is it? It's 3.5 years. It's 42 months. 42 months. And this is why I was saying when Jeremy was given 41 months, it was 1 month less. He shortened the time. And then he shortened it a little bit more yet too, didn't he? Yeah. So 3.5 is really the number of end time tribulation. And God is merciful, and he's going to shorten the time. We don't know how. We don't know what he's going to do. But I thought that was so significant, that number, 42 months, 3.5 years. So what happened to this woman church? See, here's the church. Now, when I get to Revelation 11, I'm going to show you clearly where he says, measure the altar. He's measuring this altar here, this golden altar. Measure the altar, the tabernacle and the altar, and they that worship in it. Measure this. This is what's coming under the measurement of God. The scrutiny of God is measuring this people now, you, others who believe this message. We are being measured by the measuring rod that God gave the prophet. By the way, it's not an angel. It's the word given to the prophetic word of man that is measuring us. Okay? So, but he said, leave out the outer court. It is to be trampled by the Gentiles for 3.5 years. Or it says the days or the months or whatever. Well, here, let me just tell you exactly what it says so we don't get it wrong. It's right here in the bed. He says 42 months. And then he says he'll give power to his two witnesses for 1,203 days. Same thing, same number. Now, so we know that this moon church is going to be trampled by the Gentiles. Gentiles is what? The world. The system of the world. Trample, trample, trample. This church, we read the verses in Daniel, how this church is going to be scattered, and the word actually means shattered by this beast in Daniel. If you want to be part of this church, then you're going to go through a shattering by the world. It's coming. The world is not going to tolerate. Satan hates these churches. Eventually, he's going to destroy them. But there's two more churches left. Okay, one is the man child, and one is the woman church. What happens to this woman church? This holy place church. It says, and the woman fled into the wilderness. What is wilderness? What's that mean? Cabin in Montana? Secret place in the Adirondacks? No. Doesn't mean that. Okay? That's natural. Where she has a place. Brethren, I believe that this is the widow's house. Remember the widow's house? Remember Elijah and the widow's house? Or was it Elisha? No, it was Elijah. Wasn't it? Yeah, it was Elijah. The widow's house. See, Elijah is the man child. But he's in the widow's house. And it says here what? It says that a place God has prepared. Not necessarily a natural place, but a spiritual place prepared for her. That they should feed her there. Who's going to feed her there? The outer court church? The devil? No. The only one that would feed her there would be this man-child ministry. The Elijah prophetic ministry is going to feed her there. And how did the Elijah prophetic minister feed the widow? By the word of the Lord. He said, thus saith the Lord, your barrel of meal will not run out and your cruse will not fail. All this time. I tell you, we've had to adjust our thinking over the years, brethren, from what can we do for ourselves to being in a place where God will make that provision. That they should feed her there 1,203 2,360 days. Well, I think that's a good place to stop. Anything to add, brethren? Yeah, we're talking about the beast. See, the beast is not afraid of the woman. She's fleeing to the wilderness because if she didn't get some help, the enemy would destroy her. She doesn't quite have the power. She's got the clothed in the sun. She's got the crown of stars on her head, but she still doesn't quite have the overcoming power to defeat all the forces of the devil. Do you have something, Rita? No.
Okay. Yeah, 2 years ago.
Amen. All right. Well, I'll shut this off then.